many things going on. The movie Veil of Tears, again, is going to be Friday at 7 p.m. if you'd like to view that. Take a look through your bulletin, and there's a lot of information there. I know that sometimes it's easy to grab one and kind of forget to look at it, but you'll see the trivia night. You'll see that we have the Easter egg. It's our third annual Easter egg hunt coming up, April 19th at 2 p.m. We are getting ready to open the doors once again to just love on kids and families and welcome them and let them come and hear the message of Easter in a short capsulated format. And we're going to cut them loose and let them hunt eggs, and we're going to give them sugar and hype them up and send them home. So it's going to be a great time for us. The Easter egg hunt trivia nights, first time going through my list, don't mind me. If you're a guest and it's your first time here, we would love it if you fill out a connection card in the pew there. There's a connection card. If you fill that out, you can turn that in at the Awake Coffee Station or the Information Center, wherever. We just love to get a chance to get to know you and get some of this information in your hands. In your bulletin, an outline, you can follow along with me this morning. And I want to continue in this series of, if I could whisper one thing. The Lord just really just was speaking to my heart about the things that He whispers. You know, I pay more attention when people whisper than when they're talking in a normal voice, don't you? They can be talking in a normal voice, but as soon as they go to whispering, boy, my radar goes up. How about yours? They must be saying something that's important because they don't want me to hear it. And so then I pay more attention when they whisper. And sometimes I think God whispers when we wish He would shout, but He knows that when He shouts at times, sometimes we ignore that. But when He whispers into our spirit, what is it that He would whisper? What is it that He wants us to learn? Because when you're whispering something, it's something that you're trying to communicate and pass along of great importance. Now, does that mean shouting is not of great importance? No, we addressed that last week. You know, if somebody's about to get hit by a car, shout, holler at them, tell them, look out, watch out. But what is it out of the Word of God that He would have spoken to us this morning? We've taken the last few weeks and we talked about Hagar. What do you do when you go through those dry places in life and you just don't know where to turn? We talked about David when you face giants in your life. We talked about Bartimaeus and crying out, and it's ironic because, I don't know about you, when I face dry places, when I come out of them, it seems like there's always a giant waiting for me. And if I don't know how to face that giant, I have my option, face the giant or go back to the dry place. Many times, those giants show up because they want you to go back to the dry place. They want to keep you where you were at. So we had to learn how to be a giant slayer, so to speak. And then we talked from Bartimaeus about crying out, because one of the greatest tools you'll ever have in learning to slay a giant is realizing that it has nothing to do with you and me, and it has everything to do with God, so we better learn to cry out all the more. I mean, if I know that somebody else can help me with something I'm facing, I'm going to seek their advice. I'm going to seek their counsel because they can give me that direction. So we learned about crying out to God. This morning, I want to share with you, just from the heart of God, from His very Holy Spirit, through a man who we read in the Bible is called the rich young ruler. And I believe if he would whisper anything this morning, it would be simply this: don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity. And well, what does that mean? That can be kind of vague. What do you mean, don't miss an opportunity? Like, I have an opportunity to go to church. Do I miss it or not? Well, it can be as simple as asking yourself that question. But in this story, we learn so many things about opportunities in life. God is going to provide opportunities. We have a lot of choices to make every day. We get to make choices. Maybe we've looked back in our past and we've seen opportunities in our lives where maybe it was a financial opportunity that was missed. You know, maybe you went through that. You just, I wish I would have invested in that. If I would have only known, I would have invested. Maybe we missed on a relational opportunity. We were dating somebody, and we did not want to progress. We thought it was wise to stay, and we think, did I miss out on an opportunity that God provided? Maybe it's a position in your workplace that you missed on that opportunity. Maybe it's a job that was offered, and you said no, and now you look back and say, oh, I wonder what it would be like if I would have said yes. And we wonder if it's an opportunity that was missed. You know, sometimes missed opportunities can really be blessings in disguises. Sometimes it's easy to be where you're at and look back and say, I wonder, well, what if? Or we wish upon a star. But the reality is we may be exactly where God wants us to be, but it's easy to look back and say, what about those opportunities? They just may be blessings in disguises, as we find out later, because maybe the job that we thought we wanted, maybe it fell through, the company closed and they went bankrupt, or there was a scandal, or maybe there was an opportunity for a relationship and we didn't jump into that and we decided to wait, and we think, oh, we missed an opportunity, only to find out something surfaced in that person's life that would have been, it would have destroyed us. You see, sometimes those missed opportunities can really be blessings in disguises, but then there's those times when we miss opportunities because maybe we're too afraid to make a decision. Maybe we're comfortable and we're in a place where we don't want to risk any longer. You know, sometimes some of us have taken risks only to get burned. Have you ever been there? You step out only to feel like you got stepped on. And then when the opportunity arises again, you get the opportunity to step out and you remember, wait, last time I did this, I got stepped on. I'm doing all right where I'm at. I think I'll just stay where I'm at, and we get comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with comfort. I love comfort. Anyone else like comfort? Yeah, comfort, peace, you know, that's my life. I like that. That's where I like to live. Unfortunately, it's not where I'm always located because life has a way of bringing crisis and trouble and tribulations. What do you do in the midst of that? You can't always live in this area of comfort. Sometimes it's important to risk things, especially if it's for the kingdom of God. You know, some years ago, there was a energetic young man, and he began as a clerk in a hardware store, and he worked for this businessman, and like many old-time hardware stores, the inventory included thousands and thousands of dollars worth of items, and some of them were just obsolete. They were just old, and nobody was going to buy these things. And so this young man, he was smart enough to know when there was an opportunity, so he thought, you know what? He asked the owner, he said, can I take these things and just put a table out? Just sell it for like 5 or 10 cents, you know, and just see if we can move this inventory. And the owner said, yeah, go ahead and do that. He put the table out and he put things for sale that were a nickel and a dime, and it went well. People bought the stuff up, and it went so well that he thought he could do it again, so he got the table and says, are you okay if I put some more stuff out? And he said, yeah, go ahead. He said, I've got a lot of inventory. Go ahead and put that out there. And again, it was a success. And the young man just thought, man, I can see some potential here. And he started thinking about it, and he said, I can put out this stuff for a nickel and a dime, and you've got the inventory that you can supply this with. And the young man's boss wasn't very enthusiastic. He said, you know what? If you want to start some kind of a business this way, it's never going to work, he said, because you cannot find enough items to sell for a nickel and a dime. And the young man was very disappointed. I mean, his heart was just kind of just destroyed, but eventually he went ahead with his own plans, made his own business, and he made a fortune out of it. His name was F.W. Woolworth. Do you remember the Woolworth stores? That's how he started his business. He looked at an opportunity, and he had a choice to make. It started in a hardware store that had crap everywhere. And he said, nickel and dime, nickel and dime. And before he knew it, he had a business all over this world. You ever feel like you got a bunch of crap in your life? And you don't know what to do with it. How can God make anything out of this? It's not valuable. Nothing I have seems to be valuable. I mean, I know who I am, and I know the thoughts I think, and I know the things I do. How could God ever want me or use me? Oh, you would be amazed if you would lay yourself out on that table. And you'd say, God, not my will, but yours be done. And all of a sudden, there's an opportunity that will arise. The problem is, as many times we miss these opportunities because we say, I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not valuable enough. I'm not worthy. And sometimes we just don't really realize how quickly time goes by, do we? You ever realize how time goes by so fast? When I was a kid, I couldn't wait to be an adult because, number one, I could do what I wanted to do, have as much ice cream as I wanted, eat cookies all day long, and watch TV till I puked if I wanted to. And I didn't have a mom or dad there to tell me, don't do that. I wanted to grow up, and it seemed like forever. I mean, am I ever going to get old enough? Now I'm looking and going, man, I remember back then. And my vocabulary changes. It seems like, I've heard people say this, but now I'm starting to experience, the older you get, the more time faster seems to be speeding up, or at least that's what it feels like. Is that true?
Yeah.
It seems like the older you get, the quicker it goes, and we don't realize how quickly time is going by unless we look around and see all the changes. Just think of all the opportunities that you had this past year. Some were golden, and some may have turned out to be fool's gold. Which ones did you take? You see, this next year, as we progress on, it's going to be rich of opportunities, and we don't want to miss out on what God has for us. So how can we avoid missing out? God has given us many opportunities. There's opportunities that we think of back in the past. There's opportunities in the present. There's going to be opportunities in the future. And an opportunity is this. It's an amount of time or situation in which something can be done. That's a Webster definition, okay? It's an amount of time or a situation in which something can be done. Here's what an opportunity can mean to us. It can be a moment in which we have a choice to partner with God in accomplishing His will in our lives and not just our own. Webster has a good definition for what an opportunity is, but what does that mean to us as Christians? It's an opportunity for God to walk us through seasons of life and to be able to cooperate with what His Spirit is doing. He gives us those opportunities. In the Bible, we find many examples of opportunities that were taken and opportunities that were lost as well. Noah took the opportunity to save his family from the flood. Can you imagine those that missed out on that? They missed out on believing in Noah and putting their faith in God. Imagine the suffering they went through. You look at Abraham, who took advantage of the opportunity when he was 100 years old. 100 years old. Sometimes we miss opportunities, and it doesn't just affect us. It can affect generations to come. For example, if you've been following along in the Life Journal reading, if you've been reading this last week, you would have read a portion where Joshua goes into Jericho to capture the city, and God says, I've given it into your hands. Just don't take anything under the ban. But do you remember a man named Achan in the Bible? He said, I know he said it, but man, that looks good. I want it. He took it. He grabbed it. In the next battle they went into, they experienced defeat. Long story short, God said, there's sin in the camp. And they called out the man Achan, who had committed the sin. And because of his choice, he had an opportunity to be a part of what God was doing. But he chose the opportunity to take what he wanted. And it didn't only affect him. It affected his whole family. You'll find out as you read in the story that when they found out who it was, they took him, his sons, his daughters, his family, and they took him out and they burned him and stoned him. It had consequences for the whole generation. Moses sent 12 spies into the land. 2 came back with a good report. 10 came back with a negative report. And the story tells us in the Bible that the 2 that had a good report, their generations went on to produce and become part of the kingdom of what God was doing. But the others, they did not flourish. See, there was opportunities at every turn in the Bible. And the story in the Bible that we read about today is found in Matthew chapter 19, if you want to turn there with me. It's in Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And it's about a rich young ruler who had an opportunity but missed it. And the consequences were even more lasting. The story in the Bible about this rich young man was that he knew about heaven. He knew it right here. You ever know something, but you don't really know it? You know, I know that when you're physically hurt and surgery is required, I know you need to go get that fixed. But I don't know how to do the surgery. You know, there's no experience there. And there's times in life when God says, we say, I know that I can put my faith in God, but He wants us to get it down to here where we not just know it mentally, but we know it experientially and walk with Him. He knows about heaven. He knew, this rich young man, about eternal life, but he wanted to know about more of his opportunities and how he could get there. He asked the Lord, what is it that I need to receive eternal life? That's the question that he asked the Lord. He said, what are my options? What are my choices? And so God speaks to him, and we pick up the story. In verse 16, it says that someone came to him, Jesus, and said, Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who's good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, well, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let me stop there for just a moment. You notice he didn't give all the Ten Commandments. You notice that the commandments that he gave were ones that had to deal with relationships with others. He didn't even address the ones that had to do with him, because he probably looked at this guy and said, we need to talk here. You're talking about who and what's good. Let's just start with loving your neighbor and see if we can get past that. He only addresses those commandments right there. And the young man in verse 20 says this, all these things I have kept. Really? All these things you have kept. And he says, what am I still lacking? So Jesus furthers on and says, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly, I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus' issue is not, he's not majorly concerned about this guy's financial status. That's not his concern. His concern is for the man's heart. You see, what God knows that this rich man does not know is that it's not about the dollar signs. It's about where you are located right now. It's about the condition of your heart. You know, I wonder if this rich young man knew who he was talking to. Or was he blinded by the emotional attachment that he had to his possessions? You know, he could have known he was talking to Jesus, but not really understood him as his Savior, because when he was looking at him, he's saying, look at all the stuff that I have. What more can I add to it? And when you enter into a relationship with God, God's less concerned with what you have in the physical sense, and he just wants our heart. And so what he addresses in this young man is his opportunity. He says, you come to me saying, who is good or what is good? It's not about works. It's not about what you can produce. I'm not impressed, God would say, about your money. I'm the one that gave you that money. I'm the one that blessed you with that and enabled you to be the man who you are today. So when you stand before me and ask the question, what must I do? You're asking about opportunities. What do you do when opportunity knocks? You know, we have these opportunities all day long. We have the opportunity to witness to people. We have the opportunity that when we're in the grocery store and that person doesn't have enough change, we could purchase. I had the opportunity last week, and I thought about it for 1 second, but I was standing there with my kid, and I had somebody else with me, and we were walking around the store, and you know, there's a few people. You know how when you go shopping, you run into everybody? You know how that works? So, you know, hi, hello, and I get in line, and here's this guy in front of me, and he needed a shower. Let's just put it that way. And he's getting his money out so he could buy his bottle of liquor. And as he's getting ready, he does one of these, and money falls out. And it was a $20 bill, hit the ground. And for 1 second, I thought, 20 bucks? Yes, thank you, Jesus. You know, it crosses your mind for a split second. And you're like, it's my lucky day, but I knew it wasn't my money. I pick it up and I say, excuse me, sir. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, you dropped this. And he looked at me as if he was saying, I didn't drop 20 bucks, and if I did, why would you give it back to me? It was an opportunity that I didn't think of it at that time. The guy dropped his money. I picked up his money. I returned it because it was the right thing to do. It wasn't until I walked away that I went, there was an opportunity. Unfortunately, it was an opportunity that I missed to say, hey, my name's Jim, and go a little deeper. We miss opportunities. You might say, well, you had the opportunity to do the right thing. Yes, and I did. But God's not just concerned with opportunities where we can be good. He wants us to walk through those opportunities where we can experience sharing that goodness of Christ. So what do we do when opportunity knocks? And what is it that this rich young man would speak to us today so we can learn from his life so we don't miss all these opportunities? Number one, seek the blesser, not the blessing. Seek the blesser, not the blessing. This young man thought he could earn it, God's blessing. He thought he could earn eternal life. You don't earn eternal life, you receive it. It's a gift that God gives. He thought that it was something he could purchase. I mean, after all, he's the richest man, and he's got all this stuff. If you were rich and you had all this stuff, but there was this void in your life, and you could buy it, wouldn't you? I mean, we all want our hearts to feel full. We want joy. But he could not purchase this. There was a void within his life, and Jesus says to him this. He says, give me the very thing that you use to get what you want out of this world. Ouch. He says, God, what must I do to receive eternal life? And God says, give me the thing that works for you. Give me the thing that you lean on. Give me your crutch. The thing that you say, I am who I am because I've got this money, I've got this car, I've got this title, I've got this position. This is who I am. He's saying, let your identity be found in me now instead of being found in your riches or your title or your possessions. That's a scary question because some of us, has God ever asked you to give something up like that? He said, give up that attitude. Quit identifying yourself with that attitude. Give up that influence that you have in a negative way and start influencing in a positive way. Maybe God's saying, give me your time. Because you tell me how busy you are and you tell me why you can't do all the things I want you to do, but yet you tell me God is good all the time and all the time God is good. You see, we'll use it as a crutch. And God, here the rich young man, he's seeking the blessing instead of seeking that personal relationship of the blessor. Jesus asked this man for the one thing that he's comfortable with. And he says to him, if you want what I have to give you, then give up what this world wants from you. Give up what it is that you keep trying to get from this world. This man was looking for the blessing. He wanted more in addition to. And God says, you're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for the wrong thing. You're looking for the blessing, not the blessor. The problem we have here is the rich young ruler thought that what he wanted he could earn or purchase or buy. You see, what we receive by the grace of God. It's through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not something you buy. It's not something that, and that's the great thing about God. You don't have to impress him. You don't have to come to a place. People will tell me at times, I'll say, you know, why don't you just read your Bible, do some journaling? Why don't you open your heart and let him be the savior of your life? Well, I want to do that, but I'm so messed up, and as soon as I get things together, then I'll do that. And I tell him, you're never going to do it. What do you mean I'm never going to do it? I say, if you wait to get so good for God to love you, you're never going to come to that place. The way you get there is you let God love you right where you're at so you can get to that place where you can love you. Seek the blesser, not the blessing. Don't look on the external. Start opening your heart and receive what God has for you. In the Bible, it says that in the story, verse 16, someone came to him, said, teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life? He said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one that is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. If you wish to receive what God has, don't be looking to the outside, external circumstances or anybody else to meet that need. It's going to be found in Christ alone. You know, not long ago, I read the story about a man who died of starvation. This man who died was worth $10 million. $10 million. And I thought, how does a $10 million man starve? It just doesn't compute. It's not supposed to happen. Millionaires aren't supposed to die of starvation. But this man died as a pauper because he did not know that it was, somebody dies, they leave in a will. Give it to, yes, whatever that, I heard like six words. You know what I mean? They left this money to him. He did not know it, and yet he was walking the streets. He died as a pauper, not knowing that he had $10 million in the bank. And I read that, and I think, man, that is such a sad story. But you know what? There are so many of us as Christians living in the same condition spiritually. We're starving to death and don't know that we have a millionaire daddy. We don't know that we have a Father God who has the riches from above and we're dying spiritually, but yet we don't cry out to him. You see, if you're a Christian, if you're here today and you're a Christian, it doesn't matter how bad things get. It doesn't matter how many bills show up. You just check on your heavenly bank account and you will see that it's filled with the resources of heaven. You will see that God will give opportunities. You will see that he will provide. We've got to learn this, and it's in your outlines there. God provides the opportunities. Our responsibility is found in how we respond to these opportunities. That's what makes all the difference in the world. Henry Blackaby once said, "Your life is the sum of the responses you have made toward God. Once God makes himself known to you, what you do next is your decision. Your reaction reflects what you believe about him." You see, God has prepared us for a good work. Ephesians 2:10 says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. So there's no question, did God prepare us for good works? Yes, he did. His word is clear how he wants us to respond as well. Revelations 3:20, "Behold, he stands at the door and he knocks. If anyone hears my voice and what? Opens the door." Opens the door. "I will come in and I will dine with him and him with me." The word of God's clear. He says, "I stand at the door and knock," but you still have to open the door. It's very important to make sure that we do our part. The question is, when God stands at the door and he knocks, are we going to answer? Or do we simply say, "What's in it for me? Who is it?" "That's Jesus." "What do I get if I open the door?" You know, that's ridiculous if we put it in that scenario, but sometimes we do that. We don't say it, but we do that. God speaks. He says, "I provided an opportunity. Walk through it." And we say, "Well, if I do, what are you going to do for me?" And we miss out on the best that God has for us when we should just simply obey what God has to say. You know, many times I've shared this analogy before, but it's like the insurance. We want the benefits without paying the premiums. Who would love an insurance company like that? I'll put both hands up. I would love to be able to not have to pay a premium, a bill at all, but get all the benefits from that insurance company. And too many times we think, well, that's what God's supposed to do for us, isn't it? No. Yes, by grace we've been saved. Yes, he takes care of us and he's our provider. He's God Almighty. But when we cultivate an attitude that seeks blessings only without the blessor, we miss out on the greatest opportunities that God has for us. And when we do that, we start to cultivate an attitude of independence. I can do it my way. I'm in control. I'm in charge. We develop an attitude of self-sufficiency. I don't need God. I don't need him. I don't need her. I can function and live my life on my terms. It will cultivate that attitude. So when opportunity knocks, make sure, is there anything wrong with receiving blessings from God? Is there? No, absolutely not. But don't just seek the blessings. Make sure you're first seeking the blessor. Number two, write this one down. When opportunity knocks, let your source of strength come from the heart of God and not the mind of man. Your source, where are you going to draw your wisdom from, your strength from? Where are you going to, well, I have all the answers. What happens when that falls through? Because I've done that. I don't know if you're like me, but I like, one of my greatest faults, hopefully is used to be, is I know that we'd come home and my wife and I would talk and she'd tell me about her day. Oh, you wouldn't believe this and you wouldn't believe that. And this was like 20 years ago when she was working elsewhere. And when she would talk and tell me what her problem was, if I can say it that way, I'm thinking of how to fix it. I've got the answer. As a matter of fact, she's not even finished talking, and I've got the answer. I'm just thinking, would you quit talking so I can tell you what you need to know? You see, I had the answer. I wanted to fix it. I had this fix-it mentality. I was using my mind to try to fix things, but do you know what? Probably 90% of the time, I used my mind to fix that which was going on. It never worked. It always failed, or it leaked, or something broke down. It just never quite worked out that way. What was it that I needed to do in that situation? I needed to listen. She didn't want me to fix it. She wanted me to listen. That's what was necessary at that time. But I didn't catch it because I was thinking with my mind instead of listening to my heart where God was speaking. Do you know, if we're not careful, we'll try to draw our strength from ourselves. We'll try to answer things in our own terms and use our own wisdom. And we've got to draw our strength, our wisdom. We have to let our source come from the heart of God, not just from the mind of man. Now, am I saying don't use your mind because we're all dumb and we can't think? No. God gave us a brain. He wants us to use it, okay? Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good. It's very good. but you start with the heart of God. And when you have his heart, then he says, now use the mind that I put in your head to accomplish what I put in your heart. But many times we get that backwards and we start thinking with our mind first. And then we ask the heart of God to bless it. Verse 20, this rich young ruler says, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? What's unbelievable to me, kind of, is that we have a man who has everything money can buy. And he says, what am I lacking? I still feel there's this void in my heart and in my life. What is it? And it's having his heart filled with Jesus. But he doesn't understand it at this point. He's lacking. He doesn't have enough. He wants more. And God says that he's got this great opportunity. What I'm still lacking. What else is it that I need? You need the heart of God. We have to learn what it means. I went through a season in my life where the Lord taught me this, and he's still teaching me this. It's still very new to me in my life. But he spoke to me and said, Jim, heart first, then head. I was sitting right over there, and I was in the dark, and I was frustrated because nothing was going right. At least that's what it felt like. You ever have those days? Everything's falling apart. I mean, the only thing I can do right now and not screw up is breathe. Everything else I touch falls apart. God, I don't know what to do. I sat there and I said, I give up. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I said, God, help me. I don't know what to do. And he spoke and he said, oh, it's easy, Jim. Heart first, then head. And I went, okay, good. Heart first, then head. And I got up. I remember I stood up and I took like 3 steps and I went, what does that mean? Heart first, then head. I mean, I knew it was God. I knew it was his answer. And it was a process. It's still a process where the Lord is showing me, you have to learn to live heart first. Then use your head to follow up with what God has placed upon your heart. Because too many times, we're trying to create opportunities for God, instead of just walking through the opportunities he provides. He says, listen, I'm God, you're not. I create the opportunities and you can walk through them or not. But don't think that you can bring your mind that I created to the table, create an opportunity, go through with it, fix it, work it all out, and then say, God bless it. See, we get it backwards too many times. And it's a difficult thing. He taught me that. Heart first, then head. Actually, repeat it after me. Ready? Go. Heart first, then head. You're going to have opportunities this very week where you're going to have a choice to respond. Are you going to respond to somebody that maybe just rubs you the wrong way with giving them a piece of your mind? Be careful. You may not have much to spare. What does the heart of God say? Sometimes we don't like that because, you know, the first things we think of is, well, his word says, you know, turn the other cheek. And I don't want to turn the other cheek. Me neither. But just because that's what God's word says doesn't mean that's what his heart is. He's going to speak to your heart at that moment. We have to learn what it means to seek the heart of God, not just the mind of man. When you get the heart of God, then use your mind. Yes, seek counsel. Gain wisdom. Counseling, great. Pastors, great. Good friends that speak into your life, great. But don't let it replace the voice of God. This rich young ruler thought he could just buy it. He could purchase it. You know, January 29, 1964, the Beatles recorded a song. You know what it was? Can't buy me. Oh, yeah, you guys know that song. And you can't, can you? You can't buy love. But yet this person thinks, I should be able to. I mean, I've got all the money in the world. I should be able to buy anything I need or want to make me feel loved, to make me feel valuable, to make me feel. Ephesians 2:8 says, it's by grace that you've been saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God gives it as a free gift, but yet we run around trying to make things happen. He says, count it all joy in James, and that verse always gets me. He goes, consider it all joy. Well, let me think about that. I don't like when I go through various trials, temptations, and situations like that. But he says this, when you encounter various trials, it says, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce endurance. In other words, it's part of a process. James 1:4 says, let endurance have its perfect work, its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. It's a great scripture, but nobody likes to go through the perfecting process. But God is bringing us to a place where he says, the opportunity comes, seek my heart. Number three, when opportunity knocks, let God's word guide you and not your emotions. When opportunity knocks, let God's word guide you, not your emotions. I've been single for so long and I just want to have a mate and finally somebody's interested in me. Are you going to seek God first? Or are you just going to counsel within yourself and make that decision? Don't let the emotions, oh, I'm so mad we got in a fight and I think I'm going to leave. I'm just done with this. Are you going to let your emotions direct and control how that's going to happen? Or are you going to let God's word guide you? Sometimes we're afraid to let God's word guide us because we know exactly where his word will guide us and it's going to bring it right back to us. We know that we're going to be accountable for some things. Here's the great news, and it's very simple. The quicker that we let God discipline us, disciple us, the less we have to go through these other areas where it seems like there's always battles. We're always fighting here and there, and I never can get the answer, and I'm praying to God to ask him for this. Let God's word guide you. Get into his word. And the Bible says that all scripture, it's inspired by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. That only happens when you let God's word guide you. It must be his word. Do not let your emotions be the ones that control you. Seek out godly wisdom. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." You gain that counsel. Sometimes you're going to face situations and have to make decisions. Here's a good phrase. A bump before you jump. Before you jump into a decision, bump it off somebody else. Get wisdom. Get counsel. See what they think. It saved my bacon many times. I thought, I got this. I know the answer. This is a no-brainer. But I thought, well, I'll ask somebody or I'll ask my wife. I'll bounce something off her and she'll give me her advice. And I'll go, oh, I didn't think that. Thank goodness I sought out some counsel. It saved me some embarrassment. It saved me maybe looking like a fool. It saved me maybe financially. But that doesn't happen unless we let his word guide us, not our emotions. And lastly, number four, these opportunities we face in life, know this, God gives us choices. Choose wisely. You know, there's a story of a famous painter. I shared this, but it's been a few years ago. He had a son who was in the army, and he loved his son so very much. Loved him with all his heart. And the son, while he was in the army and he was in battle, he was shot and he was killed. The news came back to him and they said to his father, your son has been killed. And he was grieving and mourning. And this father was very well known. He's a very well-known painter. He painted many glorious and magnificent paintings which were valuable. And people just coveted them. They wanted them. And he was so grieved. And it was 2 months later that he ended up, the father, dying of a heart attack. So all his possessions are now up for auction, and there was clear-cut instructions on what was to be done. And the auctioneer showed up and said, okay, he's to auction off all these paintings, auction off all the property, auction off all the possessions, and people gathered from around the world. They were ready. I mean, they knew this painter. They knew his paintings. They thought, we can get a great deal on all of this good stuff. And the auctioneer got up and said, now, before we get into the auction, the very first piece that is going to go up for sale is the painting of the son. This father had painted a picture of his son. It was one of his most prized possessions because it was his son. It wasn't the best picture. I mean, the guy, it's not like he was the greatest looking guy. He was just average Joe. It wasn't like it was great poetically, you know, painted. It was his son. And they put it up for auction and said, before we start this auction, as we start the auction, the first piece up will be the painting of the son. Can I put a bid out of $200? And there were no takers. Nobody wanted a painting of the son. They said, come on, keep moving on. We want to get to the good stuff. And he said, I cannot move on until we first auction off this first piece. Can I have $100? There were no takers. They said, come on, keep on moving. And finally he said, how about $50? Does somebody have 50 bucks they would give for this painting? And there was a caretaker there that served the father for so many years. And he knew, oh, I have 50 bucks. And he pulled out 50. He said, I got $50. And because he knew the father and he knew the son, there was a lot of value that was placed there because there was relationship. He said, I'll take the painting. He gave him the $50. The auctioneer dropped his gavel. Sold. The auction is now closed. And everyone was disappointed and said, what? You got to be kidding me. The auction's closed. We're just getting started. We have to deal with this picture so we can get to the good stuff. And he said, no. He said, actually, he said, the auction is over. My instructions were very clear. The first piece that goes up on the auction is the painting of the sun. And whoever takes the sun gets it all. You see, you and I are going to have opportunities in life. And when we listen to our Father and we receive His Son, we gain everything. Don't miss God's opportunities to receive Him. Because when we receive Him, we receive everything we will ever need. Amen? Father, I pray that today we would receive You. Lord, that we not just receive You as God, as our Lord and Savior, but Lord, that we would receive You into those inner recesses of our hearts. Lord, that we would receive You into those areas where we're embarrassed for You to see. Lord, that we would receive You into the places where there's dark corners that we know are out of shot visibly from people. They don't see all that, but You do. Lord, we invite You into those areas because we know that He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And we know that Your light shines in such a way that darkness must flee. So I pray today that, Lord, for all the opportunities we have, may we not miss the greatest opportunity of all. And that's to receive You into our lives as our Lord and Savior. I want to ask if you're here today. I'm going to ask you two questions. The first one is this. Are you here today and He's not your Lord and Savior? You don't have to be embarrassed or ashamed of that. If He's tugging on your heart, it's because He loves you with an everlasting love. Do you want to receive that today? If that's you, just simply raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. Today, as you raise your hand, God sees your heart. There's a lot of darkness that's been there, but it's okay because His light shines in such a way that all darkness must flee. You don't have to fight the fight any longer. You've got a Father God that loves you more than you can understand an earthly father would ever love. He loves you so much and He forgives you today. Your sins are washed away. Now He just wants to walk in relationship with you. Receive that today. Is there any of the hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. You need to make that decision. I want to ask the second question then. Are you here today and you love the Lord? You're a Christian. You've been walking with Him. But you know that there are those dark corners. There are those dust bunnies under the bed. There's those areas where we've not invited His presence. And we've had the opportunities, but we've not allowed Him in. And maybe today, He's been tugging on your heart because there are places that God wants to let His light so shine, but we've not allowed it. Today, He doesn't want to come to condemn. That's the enemy. He wants to bring a holy conviction that says, I can make all things new. Are you here today and you want to allow Him in that area? And I'm not going to ask everyone to raise their hand. I'm going to pray this prayer. And if that's you, you believe in your heart and you claim it, knowing that when His light shines, darkness must flee. So Jesus, we ask that Your light would shine in such a way. And Father, I pray today for each and every person that, Lord God, as we ask, You know what we're thinking of right now. You know those areas where we're struggling, where we're addicted, where we're stuck. Lord, I pray that Your light would shine in such a way that it let us see You in all of those areas and that You bring healing and life and newness to those areas. We ask in Your name, amen. Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Again, we invite you to join.